Good evening. It's good to see each of you here, and we're excited to share this evening together and excited to see what the kids have prepared for us. And we're excited to hear an old story and an exciting story of God's love for us. And why don't we bow our heads in prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you that we can celebrate this time of year. And Lord, we just thank you that you've brought so many families here. Thank you for the children, for their hard work that they've done in preparing for this evening. Lord, I pray that as we hear this story, for some of us it's familiar, for some of us it may be new. Lord, I pray that it would touch our hearts. I pray that you'd work in our hearts, that we would understand more clearly just how much you love us and your plan. Lord, we just thank you for this time. Thank you for all the hard work that's been put in by the kids and the leaders. And just pray these things in your name. Amen. Okay, well, not really got any announcements other than maybe just if your phone's not on vibrate, we could flip it to vibrate so we're not hearing too much ringing going on. We're really excited to share this with you. And I know the leaders here have done a lot of work and there's been and the kids just look great. So let's get on with the show. Let the program begin.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are so very pleased that you have chosen to join us for this presentation of Stories of the Savior.
My colleagues and I have been discussing the birth of Jesus, and we have decided that it doesn't really start in the New Testament.
Quite right. You see, it actually started at the very beginning.
So that is where our presentation is going to begin, at the beginning.
You may be wondering, what does the birth of Jesus have to do with creation?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 1, verse 1 to 4.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1, verse 14.
God created night and day, that was on the first.
was unexpected, but enjoyable.
That tune was familiar.
I want to back up just a bit, though. I want to talk specifically about the people who created on the sixth day of creation.
Yes, of course. Adam and Eve.
Then the Lord formed man from dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Genesis 2, verse 7.
You may ask, why do we bring them up in a Christmas presentation?
And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man, Genesis 2, verse 22.
You may ask, why do we bring them up in a Christmas presentation?
Yes, why are you bringing them up?
Well, it all started with them. They're the first story of the Savior.
When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Genesis 3, verse 6.
And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid, so I hid myself." And he said, "Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Genesis 3, verse 8 to 13.
Sounds like the blame game to me.
Yes, but by their disobedience, the human race now needed a savior. That's why we wanted to do this presentation today.
Our presentation is called Stories of the Savior, because we're telling about different people in the Bible and their story of the Savior.
Exactly. I have this chart that can help us along the way.
Fancy.
I know.
So who's next?
Noah.
Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, "I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 6, verse 5 to 8.
Flooding, flooding, get those children.
how does Noah have a story of the Savior?
For the coming of Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days, which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flooding came and took them all away. So shall the coming of Son of Man be. Matthew 24, verse 37 to 39.
For Christ also died for sins once and for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he also went and made proclamation to the spirits of the prison, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which, that is, eight persons were brought safely through the water. And corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but the appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:18-21.
So Adam and Eve have a story, and so does Noah. Who else?
We're going to move on to Abraham.
I love his song.
Father Abraham had many sons.
We're not going to sing that song.
Story of the Savior.
And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Genesis 22, verse 18.
And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3, verse 29.
The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew 1, verse 1.
Jesus came from the bloodline of Abraham.
So Abraham was Jesus' great, 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 Really great grandpa?
I guess you could say it like that.
But they also said that Jesus came from David. Should we go on to him next?
Concerning whom he also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my wills from the offsprings of this man. According to promise, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus. Acts 13:22-23.
Jesus came from the line of David.
And that leads up to the actual birth of Jesus.
We skipped a lot of people in the Bible whose stories lead up to the birth of Jesus.
Yes, but if we showed every one of them, we'd maybe still be presenting them until Jesus came a second time. So we decided just to show a few.
That makes sense. I would probably get hungry.
We are going to move on to the people who had a personal story of the Savior.
Many people have stories that directly relate to the birth of Jesus.
Let's start with Mary's story. She is the best place to start when we're discussing the actual birth of Jesus.
Her story is a deeply personal one.
Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, Hail, favored one. The Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. Luke 1:26-29.
And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Luke 1:30-33.
Mary's story starts with her being told that she has been chosen to be the mother of the Savior.
That truly is an amazing story.
Thank you.
This is where John's story has started as well.
John's story started before he was even born.
But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you will give him the name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb, and he will turn back many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God." Luke 1, verse 13 to 16.
"And it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Luke 1, verse 6, 17.
Now at this time, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it came about that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy." Luke 1, verse 39 to 44.
John's story of the Savior continues, but that will have to be for another presentation.
Right you are. We are just talking about the stories of the Savior as they have to do with his birth today.
Joseph's story fits in here.
Joseph was questioning whether he should take Mary as his wife when an angel came to him in a dream and told him that it would be okay. The angel told him,
"And she will bear a son, and she shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins." Matthew 1, verse 21.
And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took her as his wife. Matthew 1, 24.
Joseph's story is that God chose him to raise his one and only son to be his father here on earth.
That is an incredible story. Can you imagine raising the Son of God as your very own child? The pressure.
And the pleasure, just like it is raising any wonderfully gifted child. We are now going to move on to the innkeeper.
Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Luke 2, verse 1 to 7.
That didn't mention an innkeeper.
It does say that Mary gave birth to Jesus and laid him in a manger. Do you know what a manger is?
Sure. It's like a trough that animals eat out of.
Where do we usually find troughs that animals eat out of?
In barns.
What's another name for a barn?
A stable.
Someone has to own the stable, don't they?
Yeah.
That's who I'm calling the innkeeper. He was the owner of the place where Mary and Joseph stayed and where Jesus was born.
Right, he has a story of the Savior. He didn't know that by telling Mary and Joseph that they could stay in his stable, that he was giving housing to the Son of God. Wow, what a thought.
Yeah, he was able to provide a place to stay for the Savior, and he didn't even know it.
At this time, we'll have a congregational song. If you want to turn in your hymnals to page 145, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Thank you. This is where the shepherd's story fits in also.
And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke 2, verse 8 to 12.
And suddenly there appeared with the angel of multitude and of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Luke 2, verse 13 to 14.
When the angels have gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. Luke 2, verse 15 to 20.
Simeon, who also had a story of the Savior.
He was told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Savior.
And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Luke 2, verse 27 to 32.
He was actually able to hold the Savior in his arms.
But let's not forget about Anna. Her story was right there with Simeon's.
And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher.
She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Luke 2, verse 36 to 38.
So that concludes today's presentation.
Of course, you all know that this evening's presentation is only the beginning of the story. It's only the beginning of the stories of the Savior.
There are so many people who have a story of the Savior.
What's your story?
Well, you did a great job. And you know something? I actually caught the whole story and all the beautiful verses that you were reading. Just did a great job. Let's give him another hand, right? Boy, I like the angels flapping their wings back there. I can hardly imagine what that's going to be like, but we're going to get to see that. That's good. And you sheep up here? You looked a little sheepish. You know, there's a lot of work that goes into a Christmas program, as you can well imagine. And likely this may bring back some memories when you were a little boy, a little girl, and had an opportunity to do that. And just thank you to all the Sunday school teachers and each one that just encouraged moms and dads, as you encouraged your children to just take to heart the message that they were proclaiming. You know, there's just a few verses I just want to read with you, and I just want to remind you that the scriptures are filled with promise. And I know that each and every one of us is somewhat at a different stage in life And we're all taking a time here. Just take a breath and reflect a little bit on the message that you heard here tonight. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, and was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up into glory." And then over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." That's what you guys were proclaiming here tonight, the gospel, the good news. And you know something? Jesus came, as we were told, even as the girls were singing, right, to deliver us. Mary would deliver so that we could be delivered. But you know, maybe you didn't know this, but moms and dads should be telling you that Jesus is going to come back and we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. And we're reminded of that in the book of Revelation chapter 21. And I believe this is the climax of, we might say, the biblical story. You listen closely and see if this doesn't resonate in your heart. "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his God, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" And I was been meditating on this, and we're going to read this again Sunday morning in our Christmas program or Christmas Day service. But I want you to think about this, is that we are on a course where we're going to actually be reunited with the very God who created us in his image. And what a privilege it is to have children remind us of that story. "In the beginning, God created. Behold, I make all things new." And we're going to be part of all of that. Let's give the boys and girls another round of applause. Okay. So boys and girls, you have an opportunity to go down to your Sunday school classes. We're just going to have a 30-second prayer, okay? And you're going to go to your classes. Your teachers are going to meet you there. And I think there's a little bit of a treat there for you. And then the rest of you are welcome to join us downstairs. There's coffee and baking and all that kind of stuff. And apparently we do this thing they say in Low German called spazieren. Now, I hope that you heard my accent. It was a little Irish and French, but I'm doing my best. And if you would join us, and we'll have some fun down there and just get to know one another. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for what we've heard here tonight, for all the work, all the effort. Yeah, not only by the children, but you. You loved us so much that you gave your son, born in a manger. And we want to proclaim, we want to go and tell it on the mountains. We want to tell everyone we know about the marvelous grace of God. Thank you for the boys and girls and their work, the Sunday school teachers, moms and dads who worked with them and prayed with them and loved them. Bless our time. Thank you for the refreshments downstairs. Bless our conversation. May you be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you guys go on down to your classes, okay?